What? So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17. The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. Text number, I guess it says starting with 13. There's no purports. O Devi, O Goddess, I can understand that you want to regain your sons and be together with them to worship me after defeating the enemies in battle and retrieving your abode and opulences. You want to see the wives of the demons lamenting for the death of their husbands when those demons, the enemies of your sons, are killed in the battle by the demigods, of whom Indra is the chief. You want your sons to regain their lost reputation and opulence and live again on their heavenly planet as usual. O mother of the demigods, in my opinion, almost all the chiefs of the demons are now unconquerable, for they are being protected by brahmanas, whom the Supreme Lord always favors. Thus the use of power against them now will not be at all a source of happiness. When a person is favored by brahmanas and Vaishnavas, no one can defeat him. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not interfere when one is protected by a brahmana. It is said, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. The Lord's first inclination is to give all benediction to the cows and brahmanas. Therefore, if brahmanas favor someone, the Lord does not interfere, nor can anyone interfere with the happiness of such a person. Just a few words again about the brahmanas. So an actual brahmana is one who's situated in Brahman. Brahmana janatiti, brahmanaha. Not simply by getting a sacred thread or chanting the Gayatri mantra, does one become a Brahman. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many stories of Brahmins, some of them more qualified than others. For instance, in the story of King Nriga, as we all know the King Nriga. You know the King Nriga? Nriga? No? You probably heard the story before, though. There was one king. He was very generous. He used to give more cows every day to qualified Brahmins than there are stars in the sky. Does anyone know approximately how many stars there are in the sky? No, there's quite a number of them. Or the number of raindrops in a storm. And they weren't just for ordinary cows. They all had golden hooves and silver horns. And they had a nice silken wrapper on their body. And they had given birth to one calf. And therefore they were giving milk. Each one of these. And they weren't given to ordinary people. They were given to qualified brahmanas. And the king used to do this every day. But one day he gave away one cow and the cow to one Brahmin, and the cow wandered back into the king's herd, and so the king gave it away again. Now when the Brahmin who originally got the cow saw that his cow was not now in someone else's herd, he became very disturbed. And there was a big argument that took place between the two Brahmins whose cow actually it was. So the king realized there was some mistake, and he offered each one of the Brahmins 100,000 cows in exchange for that one cow. But the Brahmins were so absorbed in arguing with each other, they didn't listen to the king. Instead, they both became angry that their property had been stolen, and they left in great anger, cursing the king. So because of that, the king had to take birth as a lizard in the bottom of a well without any water in it. And it appears that after he left his body, he went to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj offered him, either you can get the results of your pious activities, which are unlimited, or you can suffer the results of your sinful activity, that one sinful activity of giving away a cow twice. So he chose to accept the reactions for his sinful activities, and he became a lizard for many thousands of years. He was on the bottom of a well. Now that's for an innocent mistake, which practically this king didn't apparently have any real anything to do with, but still he became a lizard for getting to Brahmins angry. So what is our destination? And Krishna, after delivering King Nariga by putting his hand into the well and bringing out the lizard, and by Krishna's touch, the lizard became king demigod, because now King Nariga became a demigod, and he went to the heavenly planets. So Krishna had warned his son that even if a Brahmin comes and cuts you, you should smile at him and offer him respects. That if you insult a Brahmin, then you'll live in hell for 60,000 years, as miserably as a worm in stool. Not only you, but your whole family will be accompanying you. So Krishna's advice to his sons, be careful in dealing with qualified Brahmins. But, generally speaking, Maya means to take everything quite lightly, not to take anything too seriously. And therefore we think, well, you may be a Brahmin, but you're not really a Brahmin. You're a Brahma Bandhu. Therefore, out of my causeless mercy, my business is to insult you so that you become humble and make spiritual advancement. Otherwise, there's a danger you're going to become too proud, and because you're proud, you're going to fall down. So I'm going to save you by criticizing and insulting you. But maybe not cutting you. So that's one example. There are other examples in the Bhagavatam where Brahmins, for instance, one king, he got into a quarrel with his spiritual master, and he got cursed to become a Rakshasa. Periodically, the king became a Rakshasa. And one day, one Brahmin was impregnating his wife, and the king had turned into a Rakshasa, and he decided to eat the Brahmin. So he started to eat the Brahmin, and the wife said, you know, don't do that. He's about to impregnate me. So the king, being a Rakshasa, a real Rakshasa, genuine Rakshasa, ate the Brahmin anyhow. And then the Brahmin's wife cursed the king that if you ever try to impregnate your wife, you're going to die. Anyhow, so the Brahmin's curse was ended. The curse of the king being a Rakshasa ended, but still he had the curse of the Brahmin's wife. So nowadays, curses don't work so well. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having kirtans in Shiva's Anga in the evening, and one Brahmin tried to get in, but he wasn't allowed in. So he became very angry that why I'm a Brahmin, you don't let me into this kirtan. And so when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the Ganges, he took his thread and broke it and cursed him that because you've been offensive towards me, therefore you'll have no material happiness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started to dance in ecstasy. He said, thank you very much. I don't want any material happiness. And it says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that anyone who hears this story will not be affected by brahminical curses. Because nowadays brahminical curses don't have too much of an effect. But we should not take any chances. You never know. you might get an unlucky, you might unluckily get the wrong Brahmin curse you. And then you'll be on the bottom of a well. Probably you'll be on the bottom of the well with some water in it at least, because the curses don't work so well. But still, who wants to become a lizard? So there are many stories of Brahmins. We know that Sringhi was a Brahmin, and he cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days. And indeed, a snake bird, Takyaksha, did come and bite Parikshit Maharaj after 7 days. In other words, if one is actually in the mode of goodness, if one is actually has Brahman Tejas, then their curses will be effective. But luckily in this age, people are not, although they're cursing each other all the time, but because they're in the mode of ignorance, their curses have little effect. Generally speaking, the effect is that they get cursed. The more people curse other people in this age, the more they're cursed. Generally speaking, according to the Vedic culture, if you create a weapon by following the Vedic hymns, just like there was what was his name? Was imitating Krishna, begins with a P. Pundraksha. He had gotten a benediction from Narada Muni, so that he was able to imitate Lord Vasudev. So he had the shark earrings of Lord Krishna. He had four arms. He put on two extra arms. He dressed himself in a yellow dhoti. He had a helmet just like Krishna, something that looked like a Kaustubha jewel, etc., etc. But he was clearly an imitation. And he sent Krishna one letter saying that, "I am Vasudev. I've come here, I've taken birth, in order to save the conditioned souls. So come here and surrender to me, and I'll give you protection." That message was delivered to the Yadus when they were having in their assembly. And when they heard this message, then all of them laughed for a long time, including Krishna. And Krishna said to the messenger, "Give your master this message that this Pundraka, he's a fool, he's the biggest fool, he's trying to impersonate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he's the greatest fool of all. Tell him that, yes, I'll accept his challenge, I'll come there, and when I separate his head from his body will simply become a place of pastime for meat-eating jackals and vultures." Quite an insult. And indeed, Krishna took his army and they went there to the city of Kasi where Pundraka was living. And Pundraka came out with with Kasi Raj, his friend, with 7 Akshvahini's divisions of soldiers to fight against Krishna. Krishna took a Sudarshan Chakra, cut off the head of Pundraka, and also cut off the head of Kasi Raj. And the Sudarshan Chakra carried Kasi Raj's head to the city where it fell down in the gates of the city. And everyone gathered around to see whose head this was, thinking that maybe Kasi Raj had cut off Krishna's head, and for the enjoyment of the citizens of Kasi, which is now known as Varanasi, that they could enjoy seeing Krishna's head. But indeed, after careful examination, they discovered it was actually Kasi Raj's head. And they all started to lament, and especially his son became angry, Sudarshana, and he decided that he was going to get revenge. on Krishna and the Yadu dynasty for killing his father, Kasiraj. So he did an austerity for 1 year, only eating ashes. And the ashes weren't even offered to Krishna. He only ate ashes for 1 year. And then Lord Shiva appeared before him and gave him a benediction that you should perform a sacrifice with qualified Brahmins, and out of the sacrifice, one big demon will come and he'll be able to destroy your enemy. Unless he's a qualified Brahmin. In that case, I'll send my ghosts and hobgoblins with him to help destroy them. So, Sudakshina, he performed the sacrifice with the qualified Brahmins, and out of the sacrifice came a fiery demon with a huge trident. His whole body was copper colored because he was on fire. And Sudarshana sent him to Dwarka to destroy the city and kill his enemy Krishna. So the fiery demon came to Dwarka, started to burn the city, people fled, they went to Krishna saying that we're in trouble, there's this fiery demon coming and he's trying to destroy everything. So then Krishna took his Sudarsan chakra and threw it at the demon, and the Sudarsan chakra is so fiery, so hot, that the demon began to freeze. Comparison to the Sudarsan chakra, the demon became cold. And so he fled back to Varanasi because he couldn't kill the enemy that he was directed to. Therefore, he burnt to ashes the Brahmins who had performed the ceremony along with Sudakshina. So be careful if you curse someone. If it doesn't have an effect, then it's going to come back and boomerang, and you get cursed. Just like sometimes we think ill of others, but the result is they're usually not affected, we're affected. It comes back and boomerangs against us. And if we think good about others, then actually we get the benefit also. In any case, curses which do not destroy the attended person come back and destroy the person who cursed. Therefore, although there are many curses in the Bhagavatam, just like Vishvamrita, he cursed one Kshatriya because his curses are always effective. There was one Kshatriya who was the son of Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. His name was Prasradra. He was a prince in the Treta Yuga. And there was no high tech in Treta Yuga. There are only princes guiding the cows. The cows were so important that even a prince, the son of Manu, he would actually have the service of protecting cows. There was one day when there was no moon, called the new moon day, and therefore everything was dark. Still, Prasradra was standing there with his sword, ready to protect the cows if any animal came to disturb them. One tiger came in order to eat some cows, and the cows started to moo in great anxiety, and so Prasradra took his sword when he thought it was the tiger was there and swung it. Actually, he cut the nose and ear of the tiger who fled, but unfortunately he cut off the head of a cow also. So next morning he discovered he had protected the cow, but he had also cut off one of their heads. I mean, that you have to be powerful to be able to, with a sword, cut off the head of a cow. Anyhow, he was powerful. But when his spiritual master, Vishwamrita, now Vishista, saw that his disciple, Prasradra, had cut off the head of a cow, he cursed Prasradra that in the next lifetime you're going to have to become a Shudra. So Prasradra took it seriously, went to the forest, meditated on Vishnu for the rest of his life, and went back to the spiritual world and avoided the curse. So if we want to avoid all our curses, we have to go back to the spiritual world. Then you don't have anything to worry about. So that's the moral of the story. Chant Hare Krishna, go back to the spiritual world, and don't worry about all these different benedictions and curses. So any questions or comments? Even you go to the heavenly planets, there's people doing sacrifices and austerities to get rid of you. What to speak of here? As one devotee said, if you're, just because you think people are out to get you, doesn't mean that you're paranoid. Anything else? Anything? Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. As per Bhaktisiddhanta, the Shandilya Brahmanas were considered lower class Brahmanas only because they were helping and doing pujas for the benefit of Vaishnavas. But why are the lower class if still doing Brahmana Dharma?
What's that?
But why are they lower class if still doing Brahmana Dharma?
Anyhow, this is some purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Some king, Suvarna, he had, because he couldn't get a loan from these people, therefore he cursed them, or he declared that they were lower class. But that is all politics. There's nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It's just politics that are mentioned.
Okay, thank you. And another question. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class question. Are devotees supposed to become Brahminical and at the same time do the work according to their nature in Varna?
Well, if one becomes a Vaishnav, one becomes constantly thinking about Krishna, automatically one becomes a Brahmin also. Mamchayo bhyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samitita itan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One is engaged in pure devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once attains to the level of Brahman. So one becomes a real Brahman if one is completely engaged in Krishna's service, unfailing in all circumstances. It doesn't matter what one is doing. There are many examples in our literature of persons who are not recognized as Brahmins, but they were great Vaishnavas. They were more than a Brahmin. Haridas Thakura was considered a Mohammedan, but he was greater than the greatest of any Brahmin that was there. Because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. Okay. Kwala, Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Kijaj.